With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's not as if he doesn't have enough going on in his life. Now he's got to be on Scooby-Doo, too.
Looks like this mystery is really starting to come together.
Velma, you can't just say that and keep it a secret, right, gang? I mean, I'm just saying, if she understands the mystery, she should just say who the bad guy is. Just blurt it out and we can all go home. So, come on, who did it?
Mr. G, that's not really how we do things.
But all will be revealed.
Because right now, it's trapping time.
Fine, have it your way.
Yeah. Can I just say he makes a gorgeous cartoon guy?
Yeah, he is.
He really
good morning, Ricky. Are you there?
Oh, there he is.
He looks good in a cartoon where they can make him look better than he does in real life.
Ricky, you look so happy. You look so handsome in that. See how chiseled jawed that
group? Yeah, I lost weight for that role.
That's that handsome Ricky Gervais in the cartoon.
I wish somebody could draw me for every day.
Exactly.
I was just watching, I think it was your last stand-up feature, and you did lose quite a bit of weight, didn't you?
I'm always up and down, but I'm around. I'm still, even if I... you know, somehow look good in a suit for a couple of hours. I'm still a fat guy at heart. It's still there.
He's still a fat guy at heart.
Yeah, there's always the threat. It's always there lurking. I like my food and wine too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever you're doing something special though, like your Afterlife movie, Afterlife show on Netflix.
Love that show.
Yeah. You're very popular on our show.
Yeah, you know what? The thing that I love about that show, and I told Brad this, I've always loved your humor, but that show is just so full circle because you feel angry, you feel sad, and you laugh your head off all at the same time, and that really, makes it.
Exactly, just like real life. I think the thing is that it's honest.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes those emotions are watered down for television because people are scared that people go, oh, can they watch a comedy about grief or death or, you know, and I just think it's usually the makers or the broadcasters that are more worried about it than the people at home because people at home aren't worried about it. They discuss all those things every day in the shops and factories and schools. And I just think when you second guess an audience, you water it down for them. And when you don't water it down, you give it to them sort of straight, I think they appreciate it. And I've never had a reaction like this. I don't just mean the size of the reaction. I mean the sort of intensity of it, that people come up to me and they tell me that they've lost their partner or their dad or their, you know, and it's been just an amazing reaction from the public.
Has it changed the way you approach what you do in the future?
Well, I've only ever wanted to try and be more and more honest as I get older. I don't want to be more famous or richer or win more awards. I just want to keep going, is this as honest as I've ever been? And I think that I am getting more honest with old age because I get old people's rights because I don't worry what
you're
people
not that
think
old.
Of me anymore.
Old people's no, rights.
It's like, if they don't like it, I don't care because I'm going to die soon. So I can be more and more honest.
All right. Did you put it that way? We're talking to Ricky Gervais about being more and more honest. I guess you could call it more genuine or whatever you want. Was there a time when you said, holy crap, I'm being honest, and they're laughing, or they like it?
Yeah.
I think I'd always done that. I'd always dealt with taboo socially. I always said the wrong thing for comic effect to make people laugh or to make them gasp. And it's harder when you do it publicly because when we joke about things with friends, you can say awful things and you don't have to say, I don't really mean it because they know you're not like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yes.
I've got to the point now where the public know I'm making fun of something as opposed to meaning it. And so it's taken me a long while to get there. Having said that, there's a pushback against it in the real world still and on social media where people still don't get irony. You know what? I think they do, but people want outrage. People look for it. And people think nowadays that if they say, I'm offended by that, we're meant to do something about it. And what you say when someone says, I'm offended by that, is so what?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Go ahead. Yeah. You can always turn it off or, you know,
exactly,
not deal with the person.
Exactly right. The only valid form of censorship in art is your right not to listen. And you've always got that. You have the right to turn off your TV. You don't have the right to go next door and turn off your neighbor's TV. And that's the point.
We're in such a time of political correctness. It's really hard to stick to your honesty with comedy now, right?
Well, I think it's easier because you've got to ignore that. So actually, you can use that in your favor. And I as an observational comedian, I try and put everything into my stand-up that's happening in the world, even my critics. Even the people that don't like it, even the misunderstandings over jokes, even the outrage that's faux or real. So it's like found art. And sometimes I go looking for it. Sometimes I search on Twitter for the most stupid person in the world because a stupid tweet from someone that is trying to hurt my feelings, I can monetize that. I put that in the act. I've worked out, like, some of the worst tweets have made me thousands of pounds. So, you know, you take everything and you try and make the best of it. It's that thing, if life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I do with all this faux outrage, criticism, whatever, is I turn it into something positive. And that's a privilege to be able to do that. I fell back in love with stand-up on my last tour because I suddenly realized, what a privilege this is to have this platform and to be able to say what you want in the current climate. And I really appreciate people paying to see me saying awful things.
That's a hell of a gig, isn't it? I say terrible things and people laugh and they pay me more money.
Exactly.
Well, I heard you do that. You did a joke or a comment about Caitlyn Jenner, and you made a very good point. Look, I wasn't making fun. I was doing a joke about somebody.
Right.
Well, I think people said because I made fun of Caitlyn Jenner, I was making fun of transgender people. And I said, no, I'm making fun of this person's behavior. She happens to be transgender. It has nothing, the joke has nothing to do with that. And that's where outrage and offense often takes place, is when people mistake the subject of a joke with the actual target. And they're not necessarily the same thing. In fact, with irony, it can be the opposite. In irony, you say the wrong thing, and the audiences laugh because they know what the right thing is.
Yes.
So, you know, it totally depends on the joke.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, I think, like you said earlier, a lot of people are on the edge of their seat. And if they hear anything that is even close to incorrect or out of good taste, they jump on it. They're not even thinking about what you said. It's something that you mentioned.
Right. And nowadays, they don't even look at the argument. They just look at who's saying it, and they decide if they're on their side or not. It's falling into two tribes. Yeah. So we're trying to always discredit the other side, as opposed to say, well, I don't agree with him on this, but he's right on this. People can't do that anymore. I remember I tweeted something about freedom of speech, a quote by Winston Churchill, and someone tweeted me, you know he's a white supremacist.
Yeah.
and I said back, not in this tweet, he isn't.
We've got to know, Ricky, the dog, is it coming back season two of Afterlife?
Which starts in September.
Is that Brad Blank?
Yes. Of course that's Brad Blank. he works here, Ricky.
You big lumbering land mammal, you.
I'm offended by that, Ricky. I'm very offended by that.
Well, Ricky, you got to remember, so I brought you as an interview. I think I interviewed you for that bird cartoon movie, and I brought it to Scott. I brought it to Scott, like, in 2005. And Scott's like, who's this guy? I can't put an Australian and an Englishman sort of abusing each other on the radio. So I'm proud that you've come a long way, Ricky.
We've done about 20 interviews together. To answer your question, yes, the dog is back.
Yay.
That dog will not die. I've said on Twitter, the dog will not die. I love that dog. So,
but Tony almost died, right?
Yeah, boy.
Oh, I mean, you know, and maybe he's not out of the woods yet, you know?
Oh, boy.
It is also, you know, it's not about this, but one of the running themes is mental health and depression.
Yeah.
And trying to get through life. And the big question that the first series asks, which will continue, is when you lose everything, is life worth living? And that's an ongoing struggle for a lot of people.
Sure.
So, you know, and there are serious points. But I think the comedy's there because there's relationships. We live vicariously through him saying exactly what he wants because, as we've just said, we all wish we could do that. Mm-hmm. And we can't. But when you don't worry about the consequences, you can say, you know, funny things to get you through. And it doesn't really help him, but it's fun to watch, hopefully.
Yeah,
Ricky Gervais, Afterlife on Netflix, second season.
And the big show. At the Garden, at the Hulu Theater at the Garden.
So, Ricky, it goes on sale tomorrow for the New York City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my
10 a.m. I think.
We'll take care of that part for you.
Yeah,
Ricky.
The Hulu Theater Supernature Tour.
We'll do the heavy lifting. You do the offensive humor. We'll be fine. Talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
You're the best.
See you, Ricky.
Bye. Ricky Gervais. What do you call you, Brad? The long lumbering
land mammal.
So marry this guy. Yeah. This is amazing.
Hey, Ricky, you've got a woman here who would marry you after she gets a divorce from her husband.
My wife?
It's over. Bye, Ricky. Bye. See ya. Jeez. Lumbering land mammal with me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.